All right, Proverbs 1 and verse 2. As soon as I get to it. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So Proverbs 1, 2 through 4, which will be the verses that we'll get to here in the next tonight and then the next time, that gives Solomon's purpose for writing the book of Proverbs. So we learn who the author is in verse 1, and then we learn what the purpose of the book is there in the next three verses. Let's just read 2 through 4. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So there are the reasons for the book of Proverbs, and we're going to go through those tonight and next time. So first of all, what I want you to notice here is that the primary purpose of the book of Proverbs is to know certain things. That's what it starts off there in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. And then the rest of these things would be predicated upon that phrase to know. So to know wisdom and instruction, perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. So we all these things, knowing, perceiving, receiving, all those things come as a matter of knowledge, knowing these things first of all. To know is to perceive a thing or person as identical with one perceived before, or of which one has a previous notion, to recognize, to identify. So if you know a person, it's because you've seen them before, and you, when you see them, you recognize them, and it brings to memory, and you know that. Or when you read you hear a fact or something, and then when that is brought to your attention again, or you think about it again, then you have identified something that's in your brain already, and you match it up, and that's what it is to know a thing. So therefore, just a simple point, the human mind is capable of knowing things. Now this seems like a point that would go without saying, that I shouldn't even need to prove this, that the mind is capable of knowing things. But it's kind of amazing that throughout history, or more modern history, I suppose the last few hundred years, people have actually struggled with the idea whether we can know things or not. And actually, there was a resurgence of it in the last few hundred years, but it really goes way back to the sophists of Socrates' day. And you're talking, several hundred years before Christ. I forget exactly when Socrates was around, but anyway, 700 years before Christ. And though the sophists of his day have some philosophical grandchildren of the Enlightenment, who, professing themselves to be wise, became fools, like it says there in Romans 1:22, and they declared that man cannot know anything for certain. And this is pretty much their standard dogma. Like, whereas philosophers before them had proven all these things that man can know through reasoning and intellect and logical deduction, and then these clowns come along and question everything and say, you know, man cannot actually know anything for certain. Now, this is self-refuting nonsense, if you think about it. Just think about the statement that you cannot know anything for certain. Think about that.
For certain.
Right, exactly. If it is certain that a man cannot know anything for certain, then he knows something for certain. And if it's not certain that a man cannot know anything for certain, then he cannot with certainty say that he cannot know anything for certain. Right? It's self-refuting. If you can't know anything for certain, you know at least one thing for certain, and that is that you can't know anything for certain. So you know something for certain. And if you can't know anything for certain, then how can you know that you can't know anything for certain? It's ridiculous, right? That's the thing with all these proofs of the fundamentals of philosophy. They are all self-evident, and to deny them, they're self-refuting. Like guys that question whether or not I exist. And they say, I don't, there's people out there, I don't exist. You just affirmed it to deny it. You just said, I don't exist. When you said I, you've affirmed that you do exist, and then you say you don't exist. You can't know truth. Is that true? That you can't know truth? If it's true, then you can't know truth, right? The human mind is not capable of reasoning. Is that right?
Did you reason that out?
Did you reason that out? Are you sure about that? Can you prove it to me? Right? You got a reason to prove that to you, right? So yeah, they're all self-refuting. But Solomon didn't need to prove that the human mind is capable of knowing, for it's self-evident truth, which must be affirmed to be denied. So it's just like the Bible doesn't go and give proofs, or not very many of them, for the existence of God. The Bible declares the existence of God. And then it says that the creation itself demands that there's a creator, which I guess is kind of an argument, but not really much of an argument. You don't see, you know, the Apostle Paul going through the seven arguments for the existence, or the five arguments for the existence of God, like Thomas Aquinas or something, because it is just considered as a given that any right-thinking person looking at the creation should be able to figure out. But not only can the human mind know facts, but God's created man's mind to be able to know wisdom. So it's one thing to be able to know facts, right? Most people would probably agree with that. But God also has made us so that we can know wisdom. Wisdom is capacity of judging rightly in matters relating to life and conduct, soundness of judgment in the choice of means and ends, sometimes less strictly sound sense, especially in practical affairs, opposed to folly. So wisdom is the capacity to be able to judge rightly in matters of life, to be able to look at all the possibilities, to be able to figure out what end you want to get to, and then choose the best means to get there. So therefore, man is capable of knowing how to judge rightly in matters relating to life and conduct. So anybody that says that they can't is just making up an excuse, because they either just don't want to make hard decisions, or they want to have an excuse for foolish decisions, and they say, well, you know, how can a person like me really be wise? Well, a person like you can be wise if you read the book of Proverbs and just and learn from what it says. That's why Solomon wrote it, to know wisdom and instruction. Now, man is not born with this knowledge innately, though. He's commanded to get wisdom, Proverbs 4 and verse 5. This tells us that it's not something that we come out of the womb with. Proverbs 4, 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So that's an imperative, right? It's something that we are commanded to do. If you already had it, God wouldn't command you to get it. So therefore, man has to learn wisdom in order to know it, right? It's something that you have to go after, find, and then put the time in to learn it. And that's what we're going to be talking about here in this study. Now, the next purpose of the book of Proverbs is to know instruction. Remember, to know wisdom and instruction. Instruction is the action of instructing or teaching, the imparting of knowledge or skill, education, information. So instruction is what I'm doing right now, right? This is instruction, teaching you, breaking the verses down and teaching you what they are teaching us. So in order to learn wisdom, a man must first know that he needs to be taught, which implies that he must first recognize his ignorance. So that's the first step, right? And I think it was one of the old philosophers, might have been Socrates, I forget, which said that if the Bible basically says the same thing, that if a man thinks he knows anything, let him admit that he knows nothing. That's not exactly the word, but if a man thinketh that he know anything, he knoweth not as he should, that kind of thing. The exact verse isn't coming to mind, but anyway, Socrates was big on that, to get a person to recognize their ignorance first, because if you can't recognize your ignorance, you're not going to learn wisdom and instruction. Oh, well, right here is the verse. It's actually in the outline. I should have just looked. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2. In one way, it's kind of pathetic that I didn't read my own outline, but in another way, it shows that I am apparently a logical thinker, because the very verse that was in the outline came to mind, and I didn't even remember it was in the outline. So that I'm trying to redeem myself here, but I'm not sure if that's really possible at this point. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2 says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." So the person that thinks he's wise is probably not all that wise, right? usually the person that doesn't think much of themselves is the humble one that God lifts up, right? The person that thinks they are wise probably needs to learn a thing or two more. Now, we're told in Proverbs 9:9 that wise men receive instruction. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. So the purpose of Proverbs is to know instruction. And just like Austin pointed out about Solomon, Solomon was wise enough to want to receive instruction, right? To want to learn wisdom. And then he got a whole lot more. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You see, a wise man is not the person that doesn't need instruction anymore. The wise person still needs instruction. He's just got enough sense to know that he needs it, and to want it, and you know, to get it and acquire it. So just because you're wise doesn't mean you don't need to be taught. I'm learning stuff in the Bible every day, and I know a thing or two about the Bible, but I mean, there's innumerable things that I yet have to learn about the Bible, right? So for me to conclude, oh, I know some things about the Bible, I don't need to learn, nobody needs to teach me anything, that would be really foolish, because there's all kinds of stuff. I've learned things from people that I generally consider wrong about most everything, but there are a thing or two, you know, that you can learn from almost anybody. I heard a sermon one time, I won't even tell you where it was, but anyway, I heard a sermon one time, and it was pretty much, and it was not a pastor of our faith, it was pretty much entirely useless. But there was one point, you heard it too, there was one point the guy made, it was in Proverbs, where when it says, when he says, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he's gone his way, then he boasteth. And he pointed out, and I never noticed this before, that that is N-A-U-G-H-T, not N-O-U-G-H-T. And so N-O-U-G-H-T means nothing, but N-A-U-G-H-T means like naughty, right? Not naughty is something that's bad, right? That's worthless, you know, just some piece of garbage, basically. And that really clicked for me, because I always read that and thinking the guy's saying, it's nothing, which kind of sort of makes sense, but not, it doesn't make that much sense. But if the guy's saying this thing's bad, it's broken, it's not worth anything, then it makes sense, where he's trying to convince the buyer that this thing is just, it'd be like going, like maybe you're like an old lady, she's a widow, and she's got a tractor sitting out in the field, and which was her husband, she didn't know anything about it, and it kind of looks like it's been sitting out there for a while, and it doesn't start because the battery's dead or whatever, and some guy comes up and looks at it and says, oh, this thing's just a piece of junk, you know, the motor's locked up, it's just scrap value, I'll give you $200 for it, right? It's not. And then when he goes his way, he's like, man, look at the steel that I just got, this silly old lady. This thing, nothing wrong with it. You know, I just put a battery in it, crank it over. And so anyway, I say all that to say that I learned that point from a sermon where I think that was the only verse that was quoted in the whole sermon. It was just an absolute abomination of a sermon. But I learned a point from it that I've never forgotten. And I'm thankful that I sat through an hour of pablum to get that one point, because I still remember it.
Like, it's amazing you didn't just, like, he's not saying anything.
Well, it was a place where we were and we had to be. So, yeah. All
right.
So, anyway. So that just goes you to show that you can learn something from anybody. So wise men receive instruction, but fools despise it. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So a wise man wants wisdom and instruction. A fool wants to avoid it, push it away as much as he can. Okay, now back to Proverbs 1, 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So this is the third purpose, in this verse anyway, of why Solomon wrote the Proverbs, to perceive the words of understanding. Perceive is to apprehend with the mind, to become aware of, to become aware or conscious of, to observe, or to understand. And it is to perceive the words of understanding. So to apprehend or become aware of or to understand the words of understanding. Understanding is power or ability to understand, intellect, intelligence. It is, when you're using the phrase of understanding, it's intelligent, capable of judging with knowledge. Similarly, it's referring to of some understanding, of no understanding, etc. If it's used with the, like the understanding, it means the faculty of comprehending and reasoning, the intellect. So understanding is the power or ability to understand, the intellect of a person. So the purpose of Proverbs is to perceive or to apprehend the words of intellect, of intelligence. Okay, that's why Solomon wrote it. So therefore, the Proverbs were written to help us apprehend with our minds the words of intelligence and reason. Now let's go on to verse 3.